don't let worries get the best of me. I remember Moses started out as a basket case. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. I don't let worries get the best of me. I remember that Moses started out as a basket case. The wind is blowing here on the pathway, meditation pathways of the University of Healing campus, and perhaps it's a little strong and this may not work out perfectly, but we'll give her a try. Because it's kind of nice to just ramble along with beautiful ideas and beautiful thoughts. I never let worries get the best of me. You see, there are lots of things in life that can disturb us. Lots of things that can make us to worry and make us to wonder and make us to dream of easier times, you know. But they don't come. They don't stay with us. The things that stay with us are our mental attitude. When our mental attitude is in divine order, then worries can never disturb us because we handle each thing as it comes along. Now, one worry that most families enjoy is paying bills. And of course, the stupid thing is that they purchase beyond their capacity to pay, and then they worry about paying bills, and there's nothing to worry about. They just don't have it. Oh, we're going to pray for it. We're going to pray this and pray that. Well, praying should begin earlier. It should begin when you say, okay, I am not a Bill Gates. I am whoever I am. I'm Herb Byerly. And I don't have an income. I've taken the vow of poverty. I turned everything I have, everything I am, over to the Church of God Unlimited. And it takes care of my daily needs and takes care of whatever things must be done for me. But you say, oh, wow, that's neat. You don't have a worry. That's right, but I still can't spend beyond what our budget is here at the campus. Now, if I were to spend beyond what our budget is at the campus, then what I would be doing, it'd be using up all of our principal, and pretty soon there'd be nothing left. We'd have to operate on a limited budget. Rather than wait and operate on a limited budget, operate today on a budget that says how much interest do we have on our money and how much do we have that we can spend. But we can't do all the things we want to do then. We can't maintain the property the way we want it. We can't put out the gist the way we want it. We can't, well, bully, bully, bully. If you can't do those things, then don't do them. If spending your principal means that you cut back on a few things, then you cut back on a few things. And when you start living within your budget, you'll find that your budget will begin to grow. That is, the opportunity for you to have more abundance to spend will begin to grow. But it can't grow in a worry consciousness. Because in a worry consciousness, you're always afraid. You're afraid to spend too much, and yet you're afraid not to do that. You're afraid of this and the other thing, and it's all so very silly and so very foolish. What we want to do is to learn how to be who we are. Now, we all know that we eat far more than we need to have. They say that rats that are raised on a near-starvation diet live longer than the mice that are fed normal food or even fed abundantly. Their lives are the normal rat life, and they die. The ones who are fed on the starvation diet, they live a long time. Now, do you want to live on a starvation diet? Do you want to live on a diet that cuts you down to the bare bones and keeps your body and soul together, but it takes all the little pleasures away? No. Who'd call that living in the first place? Well, that's the point. Okay. So, there are so many things that we have had an attitude about, and that attitude has utterly destroyed us in so many ways. It has utterly destroyed us because it has caused us to want things that we really don't need. it has caused us to want medicines, doctors. Oh, they're necessary. No, they're not. They're necessary when you don't have a good attitude. But, c'est la vie. Now, where can we begin to live within our budget? First, we live within our budget by not feeling that we have to have what everyone else has. Everyone else has televisions and they've cars and all the goodies that we'd love to have. Well, here at the University of Healing, all of our land is free and clear. We have 104 acres. All of our buildings are free and clear. We owe no debt to anyone on anything. And it's worth a considerable sum of money. You say, well, then you're rich. No, no. That's not spendable. That's principle. And if we have to sell a piece of land to make it, then that means we have less. But if we can maintain ourselves within a budget, then we're okay. But you see, we have so many little things that we feel are special things that have to be. And we still like to put on a show and look proper to our students who come to visit us. We want to look like a prosperous organization, and we are. But the thing is, what we are doing is we are doing it at the expense of a proper attitude. The only person in life that we ever should want to please or ever should want to make feel wonderful is ourselves. The only person who we should ever feel is important to us is ourselves. And how do we develop such an attitude? How do we develop such an awareness of who and what is important? How do we develop that? Well, it's not an easy thing to think about, but it is something that is very easily done. The moment we begin looking within ourselves for our true self and stop looking outwardly, we will find that we are enfolded in the greatest love that ever could exist. We are enfolded in the greatest awareness, the greatest joy, the greatest happiness. We are enfolded in peace, in harmony, in goodness. We are enfolded in, oh, such glorious feelings of goodness. When you go to sleep at night, do you go to sleep with your divine self, or do you go to sleep with your human self? Do you go to sleep with worries that continually beset you? Or do you go to sleep resting in the arms of the divine, resting in the arms of all is well, all is good and very good? If this is how we go to sleep, it's certainly how I go to sleep, but if this is how everyone could go to sleep at night, there'd be no place for worry. There'd be no place for unhappiness. There'd be no place for feeling, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, I have a reputation to keep up. I have to make sure that my children don't think that I'm a foolish person in my operation of my business here. I have to make sure that my family doesn't think that I'm a fool. I must make sure that my students don't think that I'm a poor manager of what's going on in my world here. If any of our students or family think that, then we are telling them how to think. We are telling them that we are worried. We are telling them that we are incompetent. We are telling them. We're telling ourselves. We're telling ourselves we're worried. We're telling ourselves we're incompetent. We're telling ourselves that we don't have the ability to ride with the flow. I keep pointing out to my staff and students alike, who are you besides the fact that you're God? You are number one. You are number one. That's the person that you want to please if you're going to please anybody. Please yourself. But I would please myself if I had the money to do all the things I want. No, you wouldn't. You would just add more needs and wants and desires. You would add more luxuries to your life that need to be maintained. But you see, the less luxuries we have, the more beautiful is our life. The less luxuries we have, the more we are turning within. The more we have in the outer, the less we are turning within. Because the more we have in the outer, it demands our attention, it demands our oneness, it demands our ability to service it, to treat it, to be aware of it. When I walk the path, I make my statement on behalf of the university, on behalf of the schools and the organizations we have here, on behalf of the staff, on behalf of our pets, on behalf of all of our students, on behalf of all our organizations, as I said, and on behalf of my personal family and the people that I dearly love and am close to in my mind and heart. That's a very busy, a busy time. I'm treating on all these people, seeing them whole and perfect and abundant and happy and healthy in every wonderful way. Well, that's great. But if I'm number one, whom I should be treating first, last, and always is myself. If I am a glorious person, everyone in my world is a glorious person. If I am a fantastic, spiritually illumined being, everybody in my world is a fantastic, spiritually illumined being. If I am in tune with my divinity, if I'm in tune with my God within, oh my, if I'm in tune with that, I'm in tune with every bit of my creation. I'm in tune of every bit of my awareness of who and what I am. I am in tune with all that is good and all that is beautiful and all that is fantastic, because this is who I am. This is all that I am. Now, nothing else matters. Really, nothing else matters. Should we shuffle off this mortal coil today, who would care? We wouldn't care about the dimension that we left for the new dimension or dimensions that we're going to. And the people that we knew here on this dimension would say, well, goodbye. And they would either cremate us or bury us in the ground, and they would say, he was a good fellow, she was a good person, and then that'd be the end of it. And then they would take whatever residue there was, responsibility or what have you, and go on with their life. If their life is a continuation of the organization such as the University of Healing, well, they'll continue that. They certainly have a wonderful tool here and a wonderful opportunity to do great things with the right mental attitude. And with the wrong mental attitude, all these things are useless, careless, totally unimportant. And the only important thing is that each being, each person, each one is number one, master of themselves, master of their attitude, harmonious, joyful, peaceful attitude at all times, an awareness that the only thing that matters is to be yourself and have fun. And if in the way you are being yourself and having fun, you find that you have no money, then be yourself and have fun with no money. There's always things to eat. When I first started out the University of Healing, my son Mark and I came to the mountain, and that was in 1975, and we had nothing. I'd had a job that paid over $100,000 a year with a house and a car and all the goodies, and I decided that was not for me. I wanted to be myself. And so I took the vow of poverty even while I was there, and I came away with nothing. Started the University of Healing absolutely with nothing. And we lived up on the mountain. We had an 80-acre ranch that we paid $125 a month for. And we had a house there, and we had a swimming pool. We had all sorts of interesting things. You know, it's amazing what happens when you let go and let God. And there were times we couldn't pay the rent, even the $125 a month. And there were times we had nothing to eat on the table. But we found food that grew around us in the high desert. that was very luxuriant, food that we had never dreamed of eating, never dreamed of using. And today we're not using it any longer, but at that time it served a very good purpose. And upon that foundation of absolute nothing, we built a concept of abundance, a concept of a university that teaches around the world with students virtually in every country in the world. We go and give seminars in every country in the world. We're doing all these wonderful things. And each time we leave here, every project we go away on, the project pays for itself. The airline tickets are paid, the place for us to live and stay is paid, and we even bring some money home from the students who are attending our functions and paying an offering. It's wonderful. It's so fantastic. And whether I go alone, we come back with money. Whether I go with Ellen as my associate and my companion to work on all the details and take care of all the fun stuff, and while I just do the talking and the sharing, that always works out too. And no matter where we go, we have in Switzerland the wonderful translator Stefan, who is just so eager to translate for us whenever we come over there because he loves this philosophy. And we have Monica, who just loves this philosophy so much she sets up seminars for us and sets up programs for us to share with. And our Gertrude over in Switzerland, who manages the entire operation there and handles all of our activities and our bank accounts and everything that we do over there. And she does it with so much love and so much generosity, it is almost beyond words. And I could go on naming, and if I start naming, I'll get myself in trouble because I have to name all of them. I have to name them all. And then I see the lives changing in the Irenes and the Christinas and in the Herberts and in all of the beautiful people, I tell you. It's such an exciting adventure. It is an adventure that makes me realize that I have nothing to worry about. All I do is be myself and have fun, give of my talent however I can, and in giving it, give it with my whole heart, realizing that now is the only moment there is. Now is the only moment there is. Yes, Moses was a basket case. He was born in a basket, so to speak, or at least put into the River Nile in the basket and found by the Pharaoh's daughter. And wow, how wonderful. You know, you never know what doorways are going to open. So you just get in that basket, the basket of believing in yourself, as I believe in myself, and let the basket take me wherever it will. And that's kind of a nice basket case, isn't it? Have a wonderful day, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.